Skin up. Skin up. Sit back. Relax. Zone in. And tune out. You're all very welcome to this week's edition of the Cannabis Patient Podcast with your BAFTA award-winning host, Kenny Tynan. If you're a new listener to the show, you can go back to the very start if you want to catch up, but you don't have to. You can just listen from here if you want. Coming up in this week's show, we're going to talk a little bit about the events that took place last Friday in the Phoenix Park, the major smoke up. I got a few interviews from there. But first, I want to address the issue of Cure's Crisps. I'm just going to read you a statement that they released. This statement is from Saturday, 11th of July, 2020. And it reads, following media coverage relating to Cure's family business and the reporting of unlicensed cultivation of cannabis by a family member, Cure's Farm would like to confirm that this has occurred and to communicate the full details of the situation. Tony Hugh, 64, is a retired farmer from North County, Dublin, and an uncle to Tom Hugh, the founder of Cure's Crisps Limited. Unbeknownst to the Cure family, or to the Cure business, Tony, who officially retired from the family farm business in 2019, has been researching medical cannabis production around the world following the move by the Irish government to legalize medical cannabis last year. Tony did not reveal his intentions to anybody, nor did he seek legal advice at any stage. Tony had been cultivating the plants in a small area of an unused glasshouse within full view of the public road, and as such, a member of the public reported the activities to the Garda Síochána. When questioned by the Gardaí, Tony immediately admitted full responsibility and was charged on Friday the 10th of July. As a family branded business, we acknowledge that we must take responsibility for the actions of our family members regardless of them being actively involved in their business or not. As a business, we employ 115 people and are committed to producing the finest fresh potatoes and crisps for our customers across Ireland and around the world. We would like to take this opportunity to sincerely apologise to our loyal customers who have supported our family business over the years. That was a message from Cure's Farm. And ever since it came out, like, let's be honest here, guys. The man was doing no harm. He's a fucking hero, if anything. You know, the cannabis community has gained an uncle. Uncle Tony. And the support from the cannabis community, like, has been so amazing. Just to see the amount of support for Cure's and the amount of people saying there was no need to apologise. And I think that it's becoming apparent to more people that somebody growing for their own use, you know, it's not a major effect on society. You know, they're doing no harm to anyone. You know, I believe that this man was growing his own plant medicine to treat himself, and not, you know, so there was no need to deal with criminal gangs. so he shouldn't be treated like a criminal himself. You know, and all the canna community can see this. And, you know, most people as well, that even outside the canna community. And I'm glad to say that the support from the canna community has been huge for this. Like, you know, it's a badge of honour to be pictured with a bag of Kiwis crisps now. And I've seen all it all. The amount of posts on Instagram, you know, there's reports of a national shortage of Kiwis crisps now at the minute, like, you know. So it's been absolutely great. Like, people are, you know, calling for legislation, and there's actually a petition going around for the charges to be dropped. You know. So this man has balls of steel, and he's a national hero in most eyes, if not all, you know. He shouldn't be treated like a criminal. So we need to make a call for legislation to be reviewed as soon as possible, so this man doesn't have to face court or the embarrassment or this worry or stress, you know. He was only growing a herb, essentially. You know, it's not as if he was hurting anybody, or you know, I believe it was for pain relief, you know. Like, this is a man that knows, a man with life experience, that knows what's right for himself, you know, and what's right and wrong. If you don't, you know, you don't work in a successful business like that without knowing what's right and wrong. So go out and get your hands on a bag of Kiwis crisps. And because they're gorgeous, truthfully they are. They're one of the finest crisps going. So they are. And look, our acts are unjust. You know, they need to be updated to allow personal cultivation. You know, if you're growing 60 or 70 plants, that's not personal, like, you know. I had this bit of a discussion there the other day with Martin Condon up at the major smoke up event that I'm going to be speaking about in a few minutes. And we were debating this issue, you know. You know, what could you be considered, you know, personal, you know? And I was saying, you know, anything that, you know, however much you personally need, like, you know, whatever. And he says, well, you know, you don't have that if you're producing alcohol. You don't have a limit on what alcohol you can produce. And you can give it to your friends, you know. And so why have the restrictions on, you know, growing a little bit extra for your friends to pass around, you know? Because a change of strain, as you know yourself, is it's as good as a break. Like, you know, it'll give you different medicinal benefits, and you know, it's been shown recently that you need to change your strains up quite often to get the maximum effect, or medicinally. So our acts are unjust, and they need to be updated, as you'll hear in the up and coming interviews. But before we go to the interviews and talk a little bit about the major smoke up, I'd like to mention this podcast is sponsored by no one. It's supported by you, the listener, via the Patreon page. It's www.patreon.com/ The Cannabis Patient Podcast. I also have merchandise that's been going pretty well. I have Blim t-shirts and Cannabis Patient Podcast t-shirts, among others. You can find them all on the link on my Instagram. You'll find me at The Cannabis Patient Podcast on Instagram as well. Yeah, but going back to Cures for a minute, if you want to support them and show your support, besides buying a packet of crisps and posting on your Instagram or whatever, you know, that's great. You know, you're showing your support, but you could also sign the petition that's going online at the minute, and you could also mail the Minister for Health, stephen.donnelly@oir.ie, and the Minister for Drug Strategy, frank.featon@oir.ie, and you could explain, you know, your case about cannabis, and show your support for Tony Kyo, Uncle Tony, as we'll go on to call him for in future. Yeah, so last Friday, the 11th of July, there was an event in the Phoenix Park. It was called a Major Smoke Up. You might have heard me talking about it in previous podcasts. Yeah, well, myself and my co-producer and a friend went up. We drove past the monument in the Phoenix Park and couldn't believe that was the actual size of the crowd. So we thought it was, you know, just normal people that had gathered of a Friday afternoon, evening, and were just chilling in that particular part of the park. But when we parked up the car, we got the location, and it was actually down beside that obelisk, which was kind of very symbolist or symbolic, you know, in that the vibes that we were giving off, you know, were sent up right through that obelisk and out over the streets of Dublin. There was a great atmosphere there. No trouble whatsoever. There was a drone shot done of the crowd, and they were the most socially distant crowd you'd ever see, like, you know, at like a protest or a event, you know. Everybody cleaned up after themselves as well, like, you know, the place was spotless by the time was over, and even the graffiti they had, that was removed, you know. They had a particular thing to spray the graffiti on, and that was removed after the event and everything. Check out the photos on my Instagram, or go to Major Smoke Up on Instagram to check them out. There's a few videos on there as well. But it was so surreal. It was like being in a park in Holland, you know. No fear of being judged or victimized. You know, it was just good vibes all around, like, you know. Cops came, yeah, but there was only two of them, and they came before the event, as far as I'm aware. and they just came and looked in the boxes of the organizers, you know, found nothing, as you can guess. And they just wondered what the generator was for. And apparently you can't play music in the Phoenix Park. So they just left us alone after that. So never seen them again after that. I'm sure there was one or two undercover in the crowd, but they didn't make themselves known. Nobody got hassled there at all. It was an absolutely brilliant event, and I'd love to see more happening. So I'm going to go to a couple of interviews. This first guy, I found him very interesting because he had a third eye drawn in the between his two eyebrows, we'll say in the centre of his forehead, representing the pineal gland, and so I knew he'd know a bit about psychedelics and, you know, in general, cannabis consumption for spiritual and medicinal reasons. So we'll go to that interview first.
Where are you from?
For starters.
So I'm from Eastwell at the moment. I'm living with my nanny and granddad.
Right. Lovely, lovely. How long have you been consuming cannabis?
I'd say about, you see, when I first started using it, I didn't realise how to use it properly. So it kind of took a while for it to get the edge off, you know? But personally, when I started taking psychedelics, such as acid and shrooms, that's when the weed got, like, I realised how special it is, you know, as a plant medicine. Because even especially when you mix it with CBD, it's like they both synergize in a certain way, even though it kind of takes, it kind of, like, the THC kind of almost loses its potency, like, a little tiny bit. But it's like you're able to handle it more with the CBD. So, like, there's a lot of info, like, you can look up online, there's loads of information on how to use weed, like, properly, like, for people that are anxious. And, like, CBD is great for anxiety, and it's kind of, like, proven scientifically in studies. But I'd smoke weed kind of, you know, like, the way people would drink alcohol, you know, because, like, that, like, I'd prefer weed to alcohol, personally. But I wouldn't be, like, a proper, like, I wouldn't smoke weed, like, every day, but probably be, like, once a week, maybe once every 2 weeks, maybe a couple of days, like, you know, here and there. And I really enjoy it, like, music, when you listen to music on it, you just, sometimes you get, like, a lot of revelations, whatever you're doing, so it's great for creativity, depending on, like, what strain. Yeah. Like, sativa is real, a head rush kind of thing, and you're very creative, and an indica, it really relaxes you, it mellows you out, and it's good for, like, going to sleep or something.
Can you tell me, what brought you up here today?
It's great to see people, you know, like, coming out, wanting to, like, there's, when you look around, there's nobody, like, you know, kind of misbehaving or doing anything out of order. We're just all just chilling, you know, like, we're just vibing out. Like, everybody's friendly with each other, everyone says hello and this and that. And honestly, I think it's a start, you know, like, I think I could see probably 10 years' time, plant medicines will definitely be used for, you know, medicinal uses and stuff like that, hopefully recreational sometime. Like, I like the idea of coffee shops, you know, the ones in Amsterdam.
Yeah,
it'd be great if they were over here, you know. And it's like, you don't see anybody, you know, acting out angry on weed or, you know, like, causing fucking disruption. It's alcohol, you know, like, more so.
That was the first interview there. I think he came across very well. And for such a young guy, he has really got a grasp on cannabis and its uses. Next up, we're just going to go to a couple of lads, a couple of Jack the Lads, I call them. Oh, just up for a bit of crack.
I'm here up at the Major Smoke Up with a crew of boys here. Where are you all from, boys?
Ashenden.
Just Ashenden, just down the road.
Alright. And what brings you here today?
Smoking, you hear me?
Yeah. Just smoking a few joints, just everyone's just getting together, you know, having a good time.
Yeah. And you're having good crack?
Yeah, it's deadly. It's been a good day just smoking up, yeah.
Would you like to see more of these kind of events?
Yeah, definitely. Like, this would be deadly. Imagine coming out here like whenever you want, boys, and then you're seeing a lot of people just out doing the same thing. Like, and no one's even doing that. And then there's no vandalism, so you have to get that up with the thing, so it's not even like doing anything. This pops.
How would you feel about legalizing or regulating, we'd say?
You know? It has to be done.
I think it'd be a positive thing for the environment and everybody would benefit, like, you know?
Yeah. Great, boys. It was great talking to you.
Yeah, thank you.
There you have it. A great thing for the environment. And that's the youth speaking now. I'd say those guys were, in between 18 and 21. Next up, we go to two guys from Drimna.
The Amish and all are here. The Amish and all are here.
Right, I'm here with another two guys up here at the Major Smoke Up. Lads, where are you from?
We're from Drimna.
Drimna.
And so close boy, local.
Right. And what brought you up here today, boys?
Yeah, basically just for the freedom and legalisation of marijuana being legalised in Ireland, basically. That's what brought me here today, you know. That's the main reason.
You think that current laws of prohibition, are they working?
No, they're not working at all. Like, we could turn like the centre of Ireland like into a global hotspot for marijuana, like, when you think about it. Yeah, you know, Temple Bar is a perfect place to legalise cannabis for tourism in Ireland. It would it'd blow our economy through the roof. I'd say our GDP would go up, definitely within the first year of the marijuana growth. Stuff like that. Like, farms in Cork are one of the best places in Ireland to grow, like, legal cannabis. We are told this by people in Amsterdam. Like, they have farms in Cork Ireland have one of the best agriculture to grow it. And there's a lot of farms being grown in Cork for like CBD, basically, because it's not legal, obviously, to grow the weed with THC over here. But another main reason as well, like, where it should be legalised over here, in my opinion anyway.
And are you having a good time at this event so far today?
Yeah, it's good, yeah. Good vibes, you know. Everyone's just high as a kite going around. We have the Amish that even showed up. There's people doing raffles. It's great.
And would you like to see more of this going forward?
Of course. I'd say in a few years' time, there'd be chippa vans and all at this, just like a concert. That's how big it's going to get, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Very good.
It's going to be live music and all there. Like, you can't get better than that, can you? No. People come with speakers, gifts getting handed out. Where would you get that?
Thanks very much for your time, boss.
No problem at all. Thank you.
Next up, we're going to go to the guy that won the best dressed of the day. He was looking very, very dapper indeed. I believe he cycled all the way for an hour and a half to get from Enfield on his bicycle. And speaking with him was very, very interesting, and I think I should have him on the show in future just to discuss his journey. I'll give you a listen here.
Can you tell me what made you come up this far today?
Cannabis is a very strongly thing I'm passionate about, just a movement towards legalisation and the destigmatisation of the product itself. Personally, for me, I'm a cancer survivor, so it has like a plethora of uses for me and me personally, and mental and physical as well. It helps greatly with chronic pain and issues like this, and so on and so forth. So I just wanted to show support, pretty much. Yeah, and my passion. Really.
Do you think that the current laws are doing good or doing harm?
Doing harm, absolutely. Nothing but, I think. You know, I think there's no shortage of very, you know, intelligent people who know what's good for them, let's say. Yeah. And, like, you know, they live an alternative lifestyle as well. And I think it has a big association with, like, minorities, like LGBT, for example. I think, like, these small communities and, like, subcultures of society have, like, a strong influence on, causes such as this. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Would you like to see more events like this happen?
Oh, absolutely. I'm shocked at the amount of people that came out. Like, it's amazing to see so much support and so much, like, bright young faces and, you know, clever people and intelligent people and you know, free thinking people, essentially, you know.
And did you have to travel far to get here today?
Yeah, I traveled from Meads, near Enfield in Meads. So overall, I think about an hour and a half traveling.
Excellent.
Someday it'd be great to come in and have a full podcast with your wee Wooden Martin as well, and talk about my experiences. It'd be quite interesting.
Yeah, because you have a very similar experience to myself.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a cancer survivor as well.
Very good. That's
and
amazing.
I've used
much respect.
Yeah. I've used cannabis throughout my cancer journey, and
amazing uses for patients of that illness. A terrible illness.
But here, look, it's not. That you have to give up when you went with the diagnosis, you know.
You can always fight back. Yeah, you can.
It's great to meet a fella like you. Today.
Yeah, it's amazing. This is what these events are for, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Thanks very much for your time.
Your pleasure. Pleasure.
That was the winner of the best dressed. Coming up next. I'm going to go to a guy from Ballyfermot. I know these are all guys, but we went around and my co-producer asked lots and lots of girls as well, and unfortunately we couldn't get any girls to speak to us. And yeah, so the only people that we could get a bit of chat out of on the day was the males. So this next one is from an actor up in Ballyfermot. I told any guest that I interviewed for this that I'd keep the names anonymous, but he assured me that he was very popular in Ballyfermot and that he was an actor, so you should know him. You should know the voice if he is who he says he is. I'll give you a listen.
What podcast is it for?
It's for the Cannabis Patient Podcast.
So, I love cannabis.
I can tell by the look in your eyes.
By smoking the best of gelato from Ballyfermot, yeah.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Oh. What's your favourite strain, do you mind me asking?
Gelato.
Gelato?
That's why I smoke it, yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. And, is there any other strains? Come on now.
Sour diesel I like, man, yeah. I'm going to, I literally, yeah. I only come down, I smoke two joints of gelato. See them boys over there? They had to give me a holiday to Amsterdam for 50 quid. I'm going at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Go out with that.
I swear, lads, I'm going to tell this podcast if I got away in the morning.
Fucking weird fucks, do I?
There you go, brother.
Yeah, and
look.
Here, come here till I tell you. What places do you intend on visiting over in Amsterdam besides the red light this
time? I have a board over there, man, from years ago. I used to live in Spain. Her name's Natalia. Hopefully I'll meet you up at home, man.
Oh,
yeah.
Lovely.
And
what coffee shops is your... What's your favourite
coffee? He thinks I'm messing. Do you want to have a look at that?
No, I'm doing an interview with you, man. So, what's your favourite coffee shops in Amsterdam?
I don't really have any, man. Yeah, just the whole lot of them. It's Bulldog, man. Oh, no, do you know what? I was over... I've been at... I done the first time I went over there, yeah. I was 17. And I was 18, yeah. But when I went over, I was only supposed to go for 3 days, and I thought I'd be there, I lost your passport instead for 3 weeks. I swear to God.
It's unpleasant.
Instead down a little in Rotterdam. Rotterdam's 10 times better than Amsterdam, man. It's more quiet, yeah.
Yeah, I'd be over in The Hague a good bit, sorry.
I'd be all over them, man. All over it. Eindhoven, man.
No, I've
That's
never
That's where
been
the factories are, yeah. Where the money is.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to be in Eindhoven.
Yeah, you're having a good time at this event today.
Oh, yeah, it's deadly.
You'd like to see more.
Beautiful, but listen, see this now. I smoke weed now because I have arthritis in my hand there from boxing, yeah?
Yeah.
I have bad anger issues and mental health issues and all. And if I don't smoke weed, man, I'll sniff coke. And if I sniff coke, I fucking take panic attacks. So that's why I smoke weed, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's fucking. It's illegal, man. How about am I supposed to fucking do?
So would you say for certain?
I run triathlons now, and I'm not a waster or nothing, but I have to smoke it or else I'm fucked.
Yeah. So would you say that it was more of an exit drug for you than...
Yeah, an exit drug, man, yeah.
More than a gateway drug.
I'm riddled with ADHD and all that carry on, man. I've run circles for now for hours, and I can't stop them, man. It's just in me, you know what I mean? Yeah. And weight just keeps me down, just keeps me, just that notch down, man, where I can make loads of money and just keep it ticking.
what do you think about the current laws?
What? Fuck the government, man. Yeah, I don't follow any of the laws. That's it, man. Come to Ballyfermot, you learn your own laws, man. That's the way it is. Isn't it, man? Tell him. That's it, man.
Pleasure having you on, no, man. Pleasure.
So that was the actor from Ballyfermot. What a head of ball. Great crack, though. I met him afterwards and he was telling me that, you know, this, the next event, I'd be coming up here with a trader's license and I'd be selling, you know, coffee and things like that and water. And, you know, I says, yeah, great idea. I'm one step ahead of you. So I pulled out a liter bottle of water that I'd buy. Bought in the shop and I said, here, you can have this for 20 quid, man. So the crack was good with him, and yeah, I wish you the very best in your acting career going forward, man. Thanks for the interview. You gave a very honest interview, and I think a lot of our listeners got a good bit of a laugh out of that. Just hearing your honesty come out was brilliant, and to get the real dub is a great thing as well, you know. Right, I'm going to go to the last interview of today. This one is the longest one and I think the most heart-touching one and the most informative one, and it comes from a guy that has the most experience of all the people that were there on the day, in my opinion.
Right, this is going to be one of the last interviews of the day. It's currently around 6 o'clock in the evening, and the place is starting to quieten down, but it's still, there's a lovely little atmosphere here going still at the same time. The bifters are still flying around, and I've just come across a gentleman here, he seems to have years of experience. 38 years of experience with cannabis, so I'm going to just sit down here now beside him so I can get good audio.
I've been smoking weed for 38 years. I was brought to Birmingham when I was a child, from Ireland over to Birmingham just after the Birmingham pub bombings and things like that. And because I was Irish, I couldn't get on with the English kids that were around me there, that I was living around me, because we moved to Birmingham just after the IRA bombings and things like that. So I grew up with the Jamaicans. The Jamaicans took me under the wing and I grew up with their culture. So I know all about the culture of smoking. Like, when I was a kid, I used to hang out at my mate's house, and on a Sunday, their parents would be downstairs, their fathers would be in the living room playing dominoes and cards and smoking weed and drinking rum. And the mothers and aunties would be in the kitchen cooking chicken and rice and smoking weed and having a bit of crack. And that's the culture I grew up under. And then I was doing that when I was started out at 16, and then I started drinking when I was 18, and by the time I was 21, I'd give the drink up, because I just knew that God made weed, man made beer, and I know who I trust, you know. So I've been at it since I was 16 years of age. That was 38 years ago, and a good 38 years I've had. I've lived in America, I've lived in Holland, I lived in England, and I've just been around weed smokers all my life. And even today here, as I say, look around, this was full of drink. Where would the drinkers be? All in on top of one of the people here, social distancing, not a problem. People just sitting down, relaxing, enjoying themselves. Why is that illegal? Why is that illegal? That's ridiculous. There's 14 or 15 serious illnesses that this can treat. But because of the multinational drug companies in America, this is illegal, because we like to follow suit. We like to follow suit with the big American multinational companies who know that we can grow this in our backyard and they can't fucking charge us the millions of dollars of charges for drugs that don't work now. So that's, to me, that's what's going on. It's the multinational drug companies, and yet they can do that, get away with it. And a herb, that natural herb that grows out of the ground, is illegal. It's a joke to me. It's a joke.
Yeah, and so what do you think of everybody coming together today?
Oh, yeah, I think it's great, but I think the weed smokers that are out there that are afraid to show themselves should hang their heads in shame.
Oh, yeah.
Hang your heads in shame. You should be here. We need to stand up for one another. We need the numbers. Numbers work in a democracy. When you're sitting around stoned at home and talking about it on the internet, it's no good. You need to get your feet on the street, get out here, and show there is good people that smoke weed. We're not all downers and things like that. Yeah. You know, so I think we should get out there and show ourselves. Yeah. That's to all the people that are hiding it, that don't like their neighbours to know the smoke. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights, as Bob Marley said.
Yeah, exactly. I see you're wearing the black, yellow and green. And just to explain to the listeners that you have a black, yellow and green and bandana Marley. And as well on the your jacket as well, and the Bob Marley. You're the Lion.
Lion of Judah.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because I spoke recently on the podcast about Rastafarianism and how they use it as a sacred in talks.
It's the only religion that's never killed anybody over their religion.
Right.
The Rasta religion is live, love and peace. Live in peace with nature, man. Live in love. You see these boys with dreadlocks and people are afraid of them, man. If you're a true Rastafarian, he believes in love and peace, man. Love, peace and music and the herb. The herb is central to everything in Rasta. Everything central. Cooking, eating, smoking. Yeah, it's a good culture. It's a good culture. It's a harmless culture. They harm nobody. They want to live with nature. Just let them live and smoke their herb and sit around. That's what I seen from the old Rastafarians in England when I was there in Birmingham. The fathers, the old men, they just sat in the living room. They didn't even go to the pub. They sat in their own houses, keeping themselves to themselves, not harming anybody. Yet their houses were raided and the places where they'd smoke were raided. The cafes were raided. The Acapulco Cafe in Handsworth. I was there for the Handsworth Revolution when they raided the Villa Cross. It was a pub that sold weed in Birmingham. But there's a lot of injustice. When you see people smoking, sitting around, doing no harm to nobody. I have to sit in my house like a criminal every day and smoke weed and hide from the people that don't open me windows because the guards will raid my house. Like it's a fucking joke, man. Yeah, you go to countries like Holland. I lived in Holland for 6 years. Great country. Just go and relax and nobody does any harm. But here, not in this good Catholic Christian country.
Would you like to see more of these events happening?
Definitely. I definitely think there should be more of this happening around Ireland. Like that, we should get. But as I say, the people that smoke and aren't here, you should be looking at yourselves, guys. What, like, come on, we all stand up. Stand up for it. Because if we don't, you'll always be crying about it being illegal.
But I think we've found a nice little spot here, and we haven't had any trouble from the Gardaí today.
I've been here for the last few years at the legalised days of 420. And to be honest, be fair with the guards, they haven't hassled us. They stood at the end of the street and left us alone. So I've got to say that about the Gardaí Síochána, that on days like today, they never give us any hassle. Yeah. So we've got to respect them for that. But to come in a man's house and raid his house and get a 50 bag of weed and bring him to court, and people like 15 quid worth of weed in their pocket getting fined €1,000 for having a natural herb in your pocket. It's a joke. This country is a joke. It's a joke. Pick up the weed smokers, man. Get up, stand up, get out there. Get out there and show people that you smoke. All the good people that smoke, look at yourselves and get up and show them. We need to change these ridiculous laws in this country. There's probably about 300 million in taxes they could make. 750,000 people smoke in this country. Look at the taxes we could pay for the children's hospital in 6 years. Think about that, Mr. Taoiseach.
Well, that's it for this week. A short but sweet one. Don't forget, you can support the podcast by either buying the merch or subscribing on becoming a Patreon or yeah, just buy the fucking merch. It's shit hot. Every bit of money that's made off it goes towards paying my medicine, which is currently $4,000 every 3 months because the state won't take their fingers out. And so I've decided to make this bit of content. So until next week, yeah, follow me on fucking Instagram, Facebook, wherever, Twitter, wherever you want. I'm usually there most days. And oh yeah, before I go as well, I just want to fucking say to the boys on Reddit that fucking doubted the major smoke up, fuck ye guys. Fuck ye. You are eating humble pie right now. Something like 650 people showed up and there was no hassle, and you all were just too afraid to come out. That's what was wrong with you. So as Pat said in that last interview there, guys, come out and stand up for your rights. Not just for your own rights, but for the rights of your family. You never know when you need this medicine. So I'll leave it at this for this week. And I'll say namaste at that. God bless.